Hello and welcome to day 12 of our preparation for total consecration according to the spirit of St. Maximilian Kolbe. Let's begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Day 12, your growth in grace. No earthly mother can consider her task complete with the birth of her child. She must nourish and educate her child. And God has put into her heart an insuppressible maternal instinct to do so with the greatest love. And so it is also with the Blessed Virgin Mary's maternal role for each one of her children. Mary not only gives birth to you, but also nourishes you, raises you, and accompanies you for the whole time of your spiritual life. And she does this with the inexpressible love and delight of a true mother. At the Annunciation, she conceived you as her child and silently carried you in her heart until the moment of Calvary, when her maternity was publicly proclaimed by our Lord to you and to the whole world. Hanging from the cross, our Lord did not consider the work of your redemption accomplished until he spoke to his mother about you, "Behold your son." Because you did not hesitate to offer me your only begotten son for a sinner such as this, I give him to you as your possession and property. The Church teaches that Our Lady, together with her son, possesses true rights over all souls, and therefore over your soul as well. You belong to her by a true right. This means that together with Jesus, and because Jesus wanted it, the Immaculate paid the price for you to be purchased back from slavery to Satan. The popes and theologians call this the co-redemption. She offered her son for your redemption, together with all the pain and sorrow this offering caused her, and therefore you belong to her. You are her possession and property. Jesus gave you to her. She accepted with love, and she does not want to lose you. As your co-redemptrix, the Immaculate merited to be proclaimed by Jesus to be your mother and the mother of all mankind, because she participated in the redeeming sacrifice of her son in such a special and unique way. She willingly embraced the proclamation with the greatest love and to all its extent. For this reason, she does not consider her task complete after your birth on Calvary. Even now, she continues to fulfill her maternal function from heaven as a cooperator in the development of divine life in your soul and in the individual souls of all the redeemed. Do not ever lose heart and do not become discouraged. Therefore, if you see yourself sometimes losing grace by sin, sometimes lukewarm and lacking in fervor, sometimes not growing in grace as you would like, she is always your mother, and her love for you never subsides. She is, moreover, a mother always both willing and able to help you. With her, you will find grace if you lose it. Increase in fervor if you've become lukewarm. Grow in grace and persevere in it until the end, until you are a saint, the greatest possible saint. Renew your consecration to her. Tell her you want to be hers. Confess your sins frequently and make up for them with redoubled love and zeal, each time converting from sin and turning to God all the more. And you will make rapid progress under her guidance. She will be more and more a mother to you, and you will become more and more her humble, trusting child. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Let us now turn to page 79 for our daily prayers. If you can, please kneel down. Active adoration of the Most Holy Trinity. I adore you, our Heavenly Father, because you have deigned to place in the most pure womb of Mary your only begotten Son. I adore you, O Son of God, because you condescended to enter the womb of Mary and became truly her actual Son. I adore you, O Holy Spirit, because you deigned to form in her immaculate womb the body of the Son of God. I adore you, O Most Holy Trinity, O one God in the Holy Trinity, for having exalted the Immaculate in such a divine way. And I will never cease daily from the first moment I awake to adore you most humbly, O Divine Trinity, with my face to the ground, repeating three times, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Salutation of the Blessed Virgin. Hail, O Lady, Holy Queen, Holy Mother of God, you are the Virgin-made Church, and the one chosen by the Most Holy Father in heaven, whom he consecrated with his most holy beloved Son and with the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, with whom there was and is all the fullness of grace and every good. Hail his palace, hail his tabernacle, hail his home, hail his robe, hail his servant, hail his mother, and hail all you holy virtues, which through the grace and light of the Holy Spirit are poured into the hearts of the faithful, so that from their faithless state you may make them faithful to God. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you, and for all who do not have recourse to you, especially for the enemies of the Holy Church and those recommended to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that concludes our preparation for day 12. Today's reflection is very important. The topic is called spiritual warfare. Some people call it spiritual combat, but most people are misunderstood about what that really means. Most people, when they hear spiritual warfare, they think of exorcisms and house hauntings, and that is like this much percent of what spiritual warfare is. The reality is that we're all involved on a daily basis in a spiritual combat. And once you understand the principles for discernment and how to fight back, most people say that it's like a great consolation, that there's like an openness, that the air is easier to breathe because now they can hear the voice of God more clearly. When the enemy is telling them lies, they understand, this is not from God, I need to do X, Y, and Z, and then clarity comes and peace comes. But before we can get into that, we have to start in the beginning. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, God the Father says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring and your offspring. So we have to understand from the very beginning, there's a cosmic battle going on between the woman and the children of Mary and the serpent and the children of the evil one. We often misunderstand what Jesus came here to do. If you were to ask the average person, why did Jesus die on the cross? The average person would say, well, to save my soul. And although that's true, what Jesus came here to do is far more intimate and far more personal. He came here to make us one with him, so that the two may become one, so that we may become like God. So everything he did was directed at his union with me and him. And the last thing that he does on the cross, he turns to the disciple that he loves and he says to him, behold your mother. And he says to the woman, behold your son. And from that day forward, he took her into his own home as his very mother. This is extraordinarily significant in this cosmic battle. Why? Because in the beginning, the Father said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring and yours. And now Jesus Christ, the offspring of the woman, the victory over Satan, now Jesus Christ says to us, you too are an offspring of the woman. And this makes perfect sense, because if the goal of the Christian life is union with Jesus Christ, I'm one with him, therefore she's my mom. She's my mom and I am integrally involved in the crushing of the head of the serpent. But it doesn't end there. John, in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 17, he says, a great war broke out in heaven, and the dragon went off to make war against the woman and her offspring. And St. John tells us who those offspring are. Those who believe in Jesus Christ and try to live the commandments. These are the children of Mary. So we have it from sacred scripture from the very beginning. So don't be deceived. From the beginning to the end, this is a war between the woman and the serpent, and she wins, and she wins big. In our lives, we're going to find ourselves in a struggle. We'll talk about how to discern the voice of God, the voice of the evil one later, but we just have to be very clear. In this struggle, the woman never loses. We call Mary Our Lady of Victory because she is immaculate. She is spotless. The devil has nothing on her. She is so terrifying to the demon. I have friends who are exorcists, and they say that the devil hates Mary even more than God. Why? How could that be? They say that the serpent really couldn't take that God was going to elevate a pure human, a woman, Mary, as the queen of all the angels. The devil hates that, and he can't stand that. And so if we want to be victorious in the spiritual battle, total consecration is the answer. With Mary, there is no losing. I don't care if you've been trapped in a vice for your entire life. If you cling to Mary, I promise you, you're going to overcome it. You will either give up Mary or you're going to give up the sin. The two will not coexist. Let's conclude by examining a beautiful quote by St. Maximilian Kolbe. The conflict with hell cannot be engaged by men, even the most clever. The Immaculata alone has from God the promise of victory over Satan. However, assumed into heaven, the Mother of God now requires our cooperation. She seeks souls who will consecrate themselves entirely to her, who will become in her hands effective instruments for the defeat of Satan and the spreading of God's kingdom upon the earth. Those souls that she seeks who are totally consecrated to her are you and me. And often we might feel like, I can't do it. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a public speaker. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm a nurse. I'm a doctor. I'm a librarian. I work in auto mechanics. I can't engage in the spiritual combat against the devil. My brothers and sisters, by surrendering our entire lives to the Virgin Mary, and most importantly, surrendering our wills to her. When I say, Blessed Mother, what do you want me to do? Go home and play with your kids. Go home and wash the dishes for your wife. Go home and just sit there with your family and play games with them. When we submit our wills to the Virgin Mary, our wills become one with the will of God Himself, and everything we do becomes grace-filled. If you're called to wash the dishes, and that is the will of God for you, and you submit to that, and you say, I'm going to wash these dishes, my will is being crucified because I really don't want to wash dishes. And then I do those dishes with great love. What's happening is that grace is flowing into my life. Grace is flowing into my soul, and it's affecting other souls around the world. People can be walking the streets, all of a sudden have moments of grace where they realize they need God in their life. They need a change in their life. And they weren't at a church. They weren't listening to talks or to homilies. And that happened because an ordinary man and an ordinary woman somewhere sacrificed their will for the will of God. My brothers and sisters, don't say, not me, it's not for me. No, if you're here, if you're watching this, God has called you. The Mother of God has chosen you. You think you came here to do your consecration and you picked this? No, my brothers and sisters, Our Lady has chosen you. God bless you, God love you, and we'll see you tomorrow.